Praise the Lord. Thank God for alternatives. A few risks of long abstinence from church is what we're looking at this morning. A few risks of long abstinence from the church. And the message is not to accuse anyone of not coming to church. Amen? We all know what is going on. We are not keeping away from church by choice, but by compulsion. Amen? What has come upon the world since December of last year, which nobody thought was going to last a year, is not something to be played with. Praise the Lord. Okay. When we're hearing about Wuhan virus, amen? We thought it was a joke. Well, it has come like the devil to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Not only businesses have been destroyed, a lot of lives also are gone as a result of it. Amen? It has redefined almost everything that we were doing normally, taking for granted. Coming to enjoying fellowship, hugging one another, attending social gatherings and events and all kinds of things. But those now are extremely restricted. But by the grace of God, it's not a life sentence. The way it came, the way it shall be terminated. In the name of Jesus. So the point of the message is, even though some of us cannot come in person, but we need to watch out for the things that can begin to creep in and from our God. Amen? Psalm number 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us do what? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus was not talking about a physical structure. He was talking about his people. He was talking about the gathering, the physical gathering of his people. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Praise the Lord. When the devil attacks, which we know this is not from God, it's from the pit of hell. When the devil attacks, he's very calculated, very strategic. He is very intentional and is very determined. I believe that he is enjoying what is going on in the world. That people are not able to do the things they normally do. We are not able to gather the way we normally gather. There is strength in gathering. There is power in gathering. Praise the Lord. If it were not so, God wouldn't have said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in their midst. He didn't say where one person is gathered together. And one person cannot gather. Gathering starts from two. Praise the Lord. God will have mercy. There is a painful experience. And I don't think any one of us will live to see this kind of season again in our lifetime. Your amen is not encouraging. Or you want to see it again? Even our children will not see it. Our grandchildren and great-grandchildren will not see it. And before Jesus Christ comes, it will not come again. Praise the Lord. Before we start looking at risk of long absence, let's look at a few benefits of coming together. Quite a lot of them, but let's look at a few benefits. Number one is fulfilling what God said we should do. He said we should not forsake the assembling of one another. We should not do what? Forsake Hebrews 10:25 that we just read. So coming together is obeying the command of God to come. So we should come together. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise the Lord. Number two, the connections. Whether we like it or not, what we come to do in the church is not 100%. Amen? It's not 100% spiritual. We also have some physical benefits, some social benefits. Praise the Lord. We tell, we make friends and connect. And whether you like it or not, a lot of people have benefited greatly just by belonging to a church family. Amen? Things that they couldn't get out there in the world as a result of having a sister or a brother that knows what they are going through, feed from them. And sometimes a lot of people that don't even know what is going on out there in the world, when it comes to, they see that sister, I like that dress. Oh, sister, where did you get it from? Praise the Lord. I like your hair. Where did you do it? After service. Fellowship after service. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Psalm number 133, verse 1. The Bible says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is good and it is pleasant. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse number 42 and 40. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul. Verse 41. What's going on there? Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Verse 42 now. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayer. They came together, they broke bread, they took to the apostles' doctrines. Praise the Lord. Number three, you are motivated by other people's commitments and testimonies. I mean, God has done so much for us in this year that we've not had the opportunity of sharing. People have not been coming. I mean, for the first time, we don't have people lining up to say, this is what God did for me. I mean, there was never any Sunday that we gathered before COVID-19 that people did not come out to say, this is what God did for them. Praise the Lord. So coming in person, we have to say, this is what God did for them. And other people have been encouraged. But now, we barely even share the testimonies of what God is doing. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 27 verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. A lot of people are able to renew their hope when they see somebody giving a testimony that they know Pastor Abraham did not arrange. You know, we have a lot of arranged testimonies these days. Praise the Lord. A lot of testimonies. I was watching a program recently, and this person was talking about how they pay people heavy money to come and give testimonies so that the man of God will look powerful. To me, it is stupidity. Because if I come to this pulpit and I arrange somebody to come and say, I was there, dude. Pastor Abraham came. After 2 days, lay hands on me. And they now bring in an actual dead body. Is it, Oga, that your testimony has gone viral. It's farther than COVID-19. This is a real dead body, sir. The same way you lay hands to that brother that testified. Come and lay hands. It's like, take him to the prayer warrior first. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When people come out to give testimonies of what God did, other people are like, okay, if God can do it for that sister, if God can do it for that brother, God can do it for me too. I don't know how many people, I cannot even count how many people that almost gave up their NCLEX exam. Because they thought, oh, I've done it twice, and it's like it's getting harder. I don't want to waste money, this, that, that. And then they hear somebody coming out to say she did it 3 times and she trusted in God and God has done it. So, okay, 3 times. Me, I did it twice. Okay, 4 times. Okay, let me try it again. Praise the Lord. Number 4. And this is very important. You are physically present where the angel of the church is. Someday I'm going to do a little expository teaching on angels. One sister recently was summoning angel from Africa, angel from Brazil, Shantalama, Rakata, ta-ta-ta-ta. They won't come. They won't give them. Trump said they shouldn't give them visa. Praise the Lord. They won't come. Angels of Africa belong to Africa. They have African assignment. And some of them, it's only local language they understand. So, when you look, there are personal angels. There are church angels. There are territorial angels. And there are angels for specific assignments. There are angels in charge of warfare. There are angels in charge of protection. There are angels in charge of bringing answers to your prayers. Praise the Lord. And there are angels that are assigned to be at the location of every church. The only church you don't have angels are the churches. Man of God or the woman of God does not have any covenant with God. Maybe he has it with the devil. Praise the Lord. And oftentimes, I've seen angel of this church move. Praise the Lord. And a lot of people have, God has opened their eyes. They have also seen that angel too. Somebody won't call me and say, Pastor, please, tell people not to play with the altar. I say, what happened? Say, Pastor, I had this dream. And I saw this angel. And it was behind you. And was doing like this. I say, hey, thank God it's not a demon you saw. Praise the Lord. Because whether we like it or not, there is no secret in the spirit realm. There is no secret. Spirit realm is an open portal. Anybody that walks with God, his eyes or her eyes can just be open. And you see what is going on. So, as we are right now, there is an angel attached to Stephen. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, verse 7 and 14. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, we don't want to, Let's go to verse 7 because of our time. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write. And then it goes on to other churches like that. So every church has an angel attached to them. So when we physically gather, that angel is with us. One of the outstanding testimonies, let me just give you two, that I still remember like yesterday, was one of our brothers, his wife miscarried twice. And it wasn't a natural miscarriage. So we're praying that day, and the brother was sitting down there. And then God just opened my eyes, and I saw the angel of this church stand behind him. And I heard in my ear spiritually that anyone that tries to attack his wife again, I will kill him or her. Praise the Lord. And very soon the wife got pregnant again, and the person that wanted to try to attack died. Praise the Lord. Another brother that used to attend here before, his name is, don't let me mention his name, he's from Ghana. And was in his house enjoying life. Then got a call from Ghana that, are you okay? I'm okay. Everything okay with your wife? Yes, everything is okay. Ah, your brother has run mad. I said, how come? He said, he's confessing that he projected to America to come and attack you. But the angel of the church where you're attending slapped him. Praise the Lord. The angel of the church where you attend slapped him. By the time he got back to Ghana, into his body, he became a madman. And he began to go all over the place. That it was so person I went to attack. Oh, the angel of the church slapped me and said, you cannot attack this one. I think he died. Yeah, I think he died maybe a couple of days later. But he confessed. Praise the Lord. That angel, the angel of the church, cannot be following you all over the place. It is your personal angels that goes with you. The angel of the church is stationed in the church. Praise the Lord. Number 5. You have the opportunity to enjoy corporate worship. Matthew 18:19. I say unto you, if two shall agree as touching any matter on earth, it will be done by them, for them, by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Praise the Lord. I am what? I am there in their midst. God comes down into our midst every time. There is power. There is anointing that is attached to corporate worship. Praise the Lord. When James was arrested, the church kept quiet. Peter was arrested, they rose up and started praying together. What happened? God sent an angel of deliverance. Go and deliver him. There is so much that we enjoy when we come together physically. Praise the Lord. Number 6, you are able to exercise your gifts. There are gifts you cannot exercise or you cannot use outside of the church. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. We're going to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Amen? I mean, God has gifted some people like a beautiful choir, ministers. They come, grab the microphone, and your spirit is lifted. Amen? If you put me there now to do what Sister Chinwe did this morning, probably you'll be blocking your ears. You are my strength. Like, what, Pastor? This is not. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are gifts that God has given. And one of the good things about it is that everybody is gifted with something. Nobody is void of the gift of God. The problem some of us have is that we are yet to discover the area of our giftings. And it's because we don't want to discover, because we are afraid if we discover now, we would want to use them. And we think we don't have time to use them. Praise the Lord. Number 7. You are in your membership obligations with ease. Your membership obligations with what? With ease. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, we may appoint over this business." That means there are businesses to be done in the church. God's business. And it is our personal obligation to find something to do for God. This is different from the area of your gifting. Amen? This is a different area. This is serving God. And when we talk about obligations, number one, you come. Your coming does not only add to the number. It also encourages the pastor, whether you like it or not. There are some pastors that their anointing will never flow unless they see crowd. Praise the Lord. Part of your obligations is financial commitment to the church. If you and I are not bringing our tithes and offerings or making contributions, the building will not rent this place to us. Amen? We've been negotiating with them to reduce our rent, which they did for a couple of months. And this month, we're negotiating with them to give us another percentage off. They have ignored me. They ignored me. Praise the Lord. But the fact is that a good percentage of our members never missed one service. Whether night vigil, whether all things are possible, every Tuesday, every service day, when we were home online, and there were people that were just mailing their checks. I just received a check this morning. It's a check of $550-something, and the person highlighted everything. Amen? And yet, some people are so comfortable. Between March and as I'm talking, not $1 as a contribution. Not $1 as a contribution to the church they belong to. Amen? To me, it's not about the money. One day, it's as if I had in my spirit, Abraham, I'm testing people at this time. I'm testing their loyalty. Amen? Whether everybody paid or everybody did not pay, the church is still there. Salaries are being paid. The church is moving forward. It comes a time to reward those who are dead. That is the time some people say, we go to the same church. How come? Maybe pastor is praying for these people more than he's praying for those people. No. The Bible says God is not mocked. And you yourself don't be deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, the same he will reap. Some people were sowing seed of service. They were sowing seed of prayer. Some people will call me and say, Pastor, we are praying for you. And it's not a lie. In some homes, the children are their number one prayer point. It's a seed. They are giving. Even though we are not meeting in person, but still, they are fulfilling their membership obligation. Praise the Lord. There are some clubs you belong to. They will tell you your benefits and they will tell you your obligations. The moment you stop your personal obligations to that club, your membership is terminated. Spiritually, some people have terminated their membership. You think? Praise the Lord. They just terminated them. The point is, at the end of the day, when you look at what you were meant to give to God and you didn't give, that you kept back, ask yourself, what did I do with what belonged to God? Nothing. Praise the Lord. Nothing. One of the big lessons of COVID-19 is that those things that we thought were very important, we couldn't do without. Now, we are able to do without them. I've only been to the stores this year, probably 2 or 3 times. Just to buy stuff. People. Praise the Lord. No new shoes. No new suit. No new anything. Life, the Bible says, life is more than clothing. More than raiment. Recycled everything. I don't know what I put together the other day. Somebody came to say, I like the way it. Yes, it's recycled. Praise the Lord. Those things that we thought are so important. If I kept back what belonged to God, what am I going to do with it? Buy more clothes? Buy more shoes? Or put it in the bank? There are people who were so selfish that they didn't take care of their families, only thinking about themselves. A portion of them are gone. And the families they didn't take care of with the money God gave to them are the ones now deliberating. So he left how much? $758,000. So I'm the firstborn. And then they begin to share. I went to somebody's house. The person is late now. The moment I was going to the house for the first time, the moment I entered that house, I said to myself, this is somebody that you could call a perfectionist. When you come into the house, there is a place you have to put your shoes. And you can't just sit anyhow on the couch. You could see that everything is perfectly arranged. Praise the Lord. Very neat to a fault. During the time of his burial, one of the things people said is that out of all the 8 children in the family, he was the neatest person. Amen? Left it behind. Went back again to pray with the family. And people were jumping all over the place. Amen? Shoes all over the place. I mean, it's good to be neat. What I'm saying, in essence, is that at the end of the day, all these things, vanity upon vanity. You heard about the 36-year-old Zambian billionaire. I went online yesterday, looked at his residence. Beautiful place. Looked at his pictures. Gone. And his death is not a usual death. Rolls Royce. Is it Bentley or Rolls Royce? Rolls Royce. You don't get killed in Rolls Royce like that. Amen? Because it's built to protect you during accident. That's why it costs that much. But it was not only killed, it was roasted in it. And then probably another person. God will have mercy. Number eight. One of the benefits of coming to the church is we lay a good example for our children to follow. In Proverbs 22 verse 6, the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Church is one of the places, if not the major place, you run to in the time of trouble. You have somebody that you could call to say, "Pastor, along with me. This is what I'm going through. Oh, I want to go for interview tomorrow. I want to do this. I want to do that. Oh, Pastor, my child is traveling. Can you please pray? Can you do this? Can you do that?" So, as we are coming, we are passing the baton to our children that you need to come where, to go to where believers are going to. Praise the Lord. And as a result of the way they are being taught in their classrooms, they begin to understand the benefits of sound doctrines. Amen? Because we have all kinds of things out there today. We have people on the chairs, all in the name of miracles. And then when it's time to preach, they cannot even pronounce Lazarus. I don't know if you have seen that video. The man was preaching. He doesn't know how to pronounce it. He said, "Lazarus." He said, "God brought Lazarus." I'm saying, "And you're a preacher. And you don't know Lazarus." He said, "Lazarus." I said, "Okay." And people are there. Amen. God have mercy. Let's look at a few risks of not attending church for a long time. The first one is the risk of spiritual laziness and carelessness. The risk of spiritual laziness and carelessness. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. That's what I wanted to get in the first service and I missed it. Having then no... 12:11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Is that where it is? Somebody told me Romans 12:11. Praise the Lord. "And do this, knowing that now is a high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Let me check where that is. Amen. Knowing that the time, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. If there was any time to be more spiritually awake, this is the time. Amen. This is spiritually alert. This is a time that COVID-19 has brought so much discouragement into people. 13:11. Romans 13:11. Thank you. One of my daughters came into the office and said, "Pastor, the place you are looking for..." She didn't ask me what place. She just said, "Okay, I'll do this. Thank you." 13:11. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Proverbs 19:15. "Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer." Laziness casts one into a deep sleep. One of the most dangerous laziness in life is spiritual laziness. physical laziness, you get physical consequences. But when you become spiritually lazy and careless, the consequences are not good at all. Praise the Lord. And as a result of being absent from the church, because a lot of people watching from home, it's not the same as in person. You have so much distractions around you. And some people walk half asleep. Praise the Lord. But when you are in church, you are alert. Because the only thing you came to do is to focus on God. It's only a stupid person that will wake up in the morning, shower, dress up, drive some miles, and then get to church and begin to sleep. Praise the Lord. The second one is the risk of drifting from your faith. The risk of drifting from your faith. And this is what I heard from a couple of people here and there. Since March. I have not been paying my tithes to any church. I have not been praying the way they said we should be praying. I have not been doing the things they said we should be doing. And everything is still the same. I'm still enjoying my life. I have my job. I'm not sick. Praise the Lord. I'm well. I'm this. Everything is going great. So what that person is actually saying is this. I don't need God. Amen? Yoruba people have one funny proverb like that. They said it's not the day you abuse a particular God that God will thunder against you. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord had departed from King Saul. Amen? For 15 years, he was still reigning as king. It is not immediately that you turn off your pressing iron that it becomes cold. It gets cold gradually. It gets cold. Sometimes you want to your dress and you only have one arm of your shirt left. You can unplug it and you still get enough heat to press it, right? Way of conserving energy. Praise the Lord. I mean, there was a time in my life, I think I was 20-something years old at that time. I was having some terrible nightmares and I was praying. And the more I was praying, the more it was getting worse. But at the end of the day, I said, you know what, I'm going to stop praying. And I stopped. And the attack stopped. Couple of weeks, no attacks, no bad dreams. I said, this is good. That means I will not be praying again. God bothered. I was restless in my spirit. This is not normal. Went to my pastor and pastor said, Abraham, you are not praying and nothing is happening. The devil is waiting for you so that your spiritual fire will go down completely. Then he will come and attack. This time around when he attacks, you have nothing to attack with again. Praise the Lord. A lot of people that you hear, they suddenly die. They didn't suddenly die. They had been drifting away from God. Drifting away from God. But still, they were enjoying the benefits of their covenant relationship with God before. So that while they thought things are going great for them, it is the mercies of God. Amen? But it gets to a point that they are far too gone. And to come back becomes very hard. Praise the Lord. The risk of drifting away. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we do what? Drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who had him. The same Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23. The Bible says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Jude, just one chapter, verse number 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly. Contend. When we talk about faith, faith is warfare. And it is not a warfare you fight occasionally. It is a warfare you fight every day. One of the most regular things about your daily life is faith and doubt. Faith, doubt. Believe, don't believe. God can do it. I don't believe God can do it. Maybe I should do it this way. Maybe I shouldn't do it this way. Should I believe God for it or should I fight for it? It is part of your life every day. The Bible says, be sober, be diligent. For the devil, like a roaring lion, is looking for somebody to devour. The only prayer for Peter, he said, the devil has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed that your faith may not fail. Faith is warfare. And every day that we wake up, one of the major targets of the devil is our faith. Because if your faith fails, everything fails. Amen? Everything did what? But if your faith is standing, when God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, he did not lead them through a shortcut. He led them through a long journey, through a wilderness, a place of danger, a place of lack of water, lack of food, lack of everything. But what was God teaching them? If you go through this wilderness, all I want you to do is depend on me. As long as I'm with you, I will provide everything your faith believes me for. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So one of the targets of the devil during this period is our faith. We cannot afford to drift away. We cannot afford to be spiritually lazy. Praise the Lord. And lastly for today, the risk of what? Psalm number 103. Verse number 1 to 5. Then we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Everybody read this passage. 1, 2, go. All his benefits. Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, has he not done it? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Do you know one of the main complaints of people in this time? Do you know? Face mask. People were not wearing it that died as a result of being infected. If they have the opportunity to come back and decide, they will tell God, God, like Lazarus eating from anybody, I will pay twice as much. They will say, God, after COVID is dead, 1 year after, we are still wearing it. Praise the Lord. I mean, God has crowned your head with loving kindness and tender mercies. And instead of being grateful to God for sparing your life, we are complaining about face mask. Now we appreciate surgeons, nurses, people working in hospitals who have to wear this most part of the time they are in the hospital facilities. Praise the Lord. We appreciate them. Some people are complaining. The governor should allow children to go to school. I'm tired. Complaining about children in the house. Now you know what your teachers that you don't appreciate. When teachers' appreciation days come, you don't appreciate them. Now you know what they go through. If you hear what people are complaining about at a time like this, you'll be shocked. This is not a time of ingratitude. This is a time of being grateful to God, if not for anything, for sparing your life. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 12 and 13. Then the Lord said to me, arise, go down quickly from here, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt have acted corruptly. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten image. Furthermore, the Lord spoke to me, saying, I have seen these people, and indeed they are stiff-necked people. What is the Bible saying here? These are people I delivered out of bondage. These are people that I have done so much for, and they should be grateful unto me. But what are they doing? They are saying, as for this Moses, so we don't know what has happened to him. You know what? Image for ourselves. Amen? Oh, I can't see my pastor. You know, my pastor is not calling me, this and that. So they carve image for themselves. They have quickly torn aside. And Psalm number 50, verse 22. Now consider this, you who forget God. Tell yourself, I will never forget God. Lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Ingratitude, summarily put, is forgetting God. Because you can never remember God and not remember His benefits. Bless my soul and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. The one who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who delivered your life from destruction, who has crowned your life, who has crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. The one who renews your life like the eagles and satisfies you, praise the Lord, satisfies you with good that your life is renewed as the eagle. Praise the Lord. This is a time of great gratitude. If you are pursuing anything and it's not going according to your plan, don't murmur. Don't complain. Be grateful. Whatever it is that is not going the way you want it, don't murmur. Be grateful to God. Say it out loud. In the place of, I thought my promotion would come. I thought I would pass this exam. I thought they are going to do this for me. No. Instead of saying those things out, begin to say, Father Lord, I thank you. That's what I do. So the way I wanted it, Father Lord, instead of borrowing or lending my mouth to the devil to use, I give it to God. Father Lord, I thank you. One of the most common phrases you hear me murmuring, sometimes my children say, Daddy, are you talking to me? No, I'm not talking to you. But you are saying something. Yes, I'm talking to God. So you can talk to God like that. What are you saying to God? I'm just being grateful. You see me walking in the kitchen, walking all over the place, and you can just hear me. Father Lord, I'm grateful. Father Lord, I'm grateful. When you look at where you are coming from, when you see how many rivers God has made you to cross, look at times of walking in the valley of the shadow of death. When you look at enemies that surrounded you and they almost collapsed on you. When you look at all kinds of projections, all kinds of hurdles in your way that God made you to cross over. All kinds of walls of Jericho that God fell before you. All kinds of Red Seas that God parted before you. Hamans that God hung on their own gallows. and Herod that got slapped with angelic slap. Praise the Lord. It's a time of gratitude. Being grateful. If lockdown comes tomorrow, please don't complain. Ah, we just started. They lock us down for how many months? We just started coming to church now. We are enjoying church now. And we just started in August. Now they are saying we should lock down again. This, please lock down. It's better to lock down and be alive. To see the end of lockdown. Than not be locked down. And be below, which will never be your portion in Jesus' name. Things are happening. COVID-19 is real. It is destroying lives in thousands in America. Let us keep safe. Let us keep safe. Prayer alone will not do it. Common sense should be involved. Places that are not extremely important. I mean, it's not important going shopping for clothes now. I went to pick my laundry from when I got there. They had halved their store. And I said to the manager, what happened? It's half. He said, yeah, no more business. It's not coming like before. It's better you deny yourself of certain things now and be alive till next year. Because very soon, these things will be over. And if God, by His grace, has given Pfizer or whoever is working on vaccine, if they are successful, that means the fear of contracting it is going to be less. You get it, oh yeah, if you have gotten it, oh yeah, come and take this one. And you take it and it will die. And very soon, it will fizzle out. And probably it will become like an ordinary flu. It will have its season, but it won't claim lives like it used to do. Praise the Lord. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's rise up on our feet. Thank you. Let's take the final hymn. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Thank you.